God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Welcome. Welcome to another day. Welcome to new mercies. Welcome to another opportunity to see what the Lord will do in your life. Welcome to the Midweek Power Nugget. These 15 minutes, if you allow God to do it, will absolutely transform your life. There's no way to come in contact with the Word of God and not be forever changed. Let's talk to Him. God, we love you. God, we bless you, and we give you reverence. We give you honor today for being the God, the creator of the universe, the one who looked into nothing and something appeared merely because you spoke it. Even on this morning, you spoke into our lives, and we came alive. We were shaken out of our slumber. We were brought out of our rest, and you beckoned for us to come and hear your word. God, we pray that this word, we pray that these series of words will speak to your people in such a way that they will no longer look upon this annual recognition of the resurrection of Jesus the same. God, I pray that you will bless our time together. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Again, we just thank God for just being alive and being able to be here in your presence once again. This morning, we're going to venture into a devotional series, because if you've ever been in a moment so big, so so life-changing that it left you standing afterwards wondering, wow, that was amazing, but now what? And you all, I believe that that's exactly where the disciples and those that followed Jesus found themselves after the resurrection, because he did exactly what he said he would do. He rose. He rose from the dead. The stone was rolled away. Death had lost its sting. But now that he's alive, I'm wondering if they thought, well, what are we supposed to do with that? And what are we supposed to do with that? And that's the heart of this devotional series. What now? Because you all, the resurrection wasn't just something that just happened in history. It was actually a turning point in destiny. It demands a response, not just from those back then, but from us today. Jesus didn't just get up to be talked about throughout history, throughout the generations. He rose so that we could be activated, we could be empowered, we could be sent, we could be transformed. You all, the grave being empty is not the end of the story. It's the beginning of our assignment. So over the next few weeks, where we're going to look at the footsteps of those who were there, those who saw him after he got up, from the women at the tomb to the doubting disciple, from the mountains to the upper room. We're gonna look at how they responded and what we can learn from how they responded. Let's look at our first passage, or this first devotional in this series of What Now. We're going to look at Matthew, just a couple of verses from there, and then we're going to go to John. So Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9. And this is right after the women went to the grave, right after they went to the tomb, and they realized that they went, of course, to treat the body of Jesus. But remember, there was an earthquake, and the angel of the Lord came from heaven, rolled the stone away. And the angel said to the women when they came, don't be afraid. I know you came looking for Jesus, but he is not here. He's arisen. But verses 8 and 9 say this about the women. It says, and they left the tomb quickly. I'm sorry, this is the New American Standard Bible. Matthew 28, verses 8 and 9. And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them. And they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Let's jump to John, the 20th chapter. Just one verse here, 28th verse. And this again is a familiar passage where the disciple Thomas was told that Jesus was no longer dead, but alive. And he said, nope, unless I could see the imprint of the nails in his hands and put my finger in that place and put my hand in the side, he said deliberately, I won't believe. And then 8 days after that, Jesus came and walked through a closed door, and Thomas was with him. And even though he wasn't there when Thomas said, I'm not going to believe until I'm able to do these things, he said to Thomas, put your finger in my hands and put your hand and put it in my side. And don't be unbelieving, but be believing. Verse 28 in that 20th chapter of John, Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. What now? What now are we to do since Jesus arose? You all, we're going to worship the risen one. Worship the risen one. I want to take you back in modern history for just a brief moment. I want to take you to April 2019. And this is when fire engulfed the Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris. But you think about this. It not just a little fire broke out. It burned through the entire building. We're talking about centuries of history and artistry and a place that had been worshipped in for centuries. But just days later, on Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday, something happened that stunned the world. No, the fire was already out. No, it wasn't another tragedy. You all, the cathedral was closed, but the people still gathered. They didn't gather in the building, of course, but they gathered in the open courtyards. They gathered in nearby churches. They gathered even in homes. Why? Because while church service was canceled in the cathedral, the resurrection of Christ wasn't canceled. You all, because worship does not require a perfect place. What worship requires is a risen Savior. And when Jesus got up out the grave, he didn't just prove who he was. As I said before, it demands a response. And for those who believed, that response wasn't just feeling good about Jesus raising from the dead. It was about falling down. It was about hitting their knees. It was about worship. So on this side of the resurrection, for us, how do we respond now that we know he's risen? Well, we can find three concepts through those passages that I read to you. The first concept is, now that he's risen, we fall to his feet. Huh? That's what Matthew 28:9 says. It says they came up and took hold of his feet. This is what the women did, and worshiped him. Can you imagine that moment? Because those women came to a tomb expecting to anoint a dead body. Huh? But instead, they standing face to face with the risen Savior. I wish I had a voice because I'd do something with that right there. But their first response was not to say, Jesus, oh my goodness, how did this happen? That, they didn't ask questions. And they didn't turn and run away in fear. It wasn't even to huck and buck and do a crisscross applesauce. It wasn't to start shouting. They fell at his feet to worship. Because when you know he got up, the only right response is to go down on your knees. Because worship isn't about just singing your favorite song on Sunday. It's about surrender. It's about surrendering your will. It's about surrendering your concept of life. It's about surrendering your whole self. And hear me well. It is not performance-based. It's posture-based. It's about bowing in awe of the one who took the keys to death, hell, and the grave. Glory to God. But not only do we fall at his feet, you all, we fix our faith. Yeah, we fix our faith. Come, let's jump to John right quick. Let's talk about Thomas. You all, let's just be honest. We think really bad about Thomas. He gets a bad rap because he said, nope, I'm not going to believe. But let's just be real. He gives us a clear picture of what resurrection worship really should look like. Because even after he didn't believe, even after he said, I need proof, once he had the proof standing in front of him, he said, my Lord and my God. You all, that's not just a phrase. That's a revelation. Thomas went from I need proof to okay, I'm convinced. He went from questioning to confessing. And see, you all, this is what I love about this scripture, this passage. Jesus didn't make him feel bad about it. Jesus actually showed up and gave Thomas what he needed to believe. Lord have mercy. I want to shout right there. God will give you what you need in order to believe that he is who he says he is. Lord, help us. And once Thomas saw the truth, he didn't just say thank you. He worshiped. He said, my Lord and my God. Sometimes your worship is quiet, y'all. It doesn't require a shout. It's personal. It's a whisper. My Lord. My God. But I don't care if it's shouting the rooftops off. I don't care if it's quiet. I don't care if it's a whisper. Just make sure it's real. Make sure it's deep. Make sure it's rooted in the fact that you know that you know that you know in your knower that he lives. Let me get to this third point before I run out of time. We should fall at his feet. We should fix our faith. And you all, we should fuel our wonder. That's what, if we jump back to Matthew 28, the Bible says the women left the tomb with fear, watch, and great joy. Sounds kind of crazy, right? Fear and joy. But you all, when you witness a miracle, you're shaken and stirred all at the same time. You're undone, and you lift it up all at the same time. You all, I am convinced, I contend with you this morning that we've gotten too comfortable with the resurrection story. Because we say, you know, he got up like it's just a line in a song or a repeating line in a movie we saw. But I really need you to think about this. Y'all, he got up. Who do you know who has left this life in your lifetime who we can say got up? Nobody but Jesus. That should still leave us breathless like it did the women at the tomb. It should still make us tremble like the guards there who looked like they saw a ghost. It should still move us to tears you all, because worship happens when wonder returns. We got to quit treating the resurrection like a rerun. And we got to start responding like it's happening right now. Because you all, how? What do we do now? We ought to worship the risen one. Let's pray. Father, we love you today and we adore you. Jesus, you didn't stay in the grave. And I don't want to stay the same. We don't want to stay the same. Help us to remember the power of your resurrection and the weight of what it means in our lives. Restore our wonder and reignite our worship. God, be with us as we go about our day to day. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. God bless each and every one of you. Have an amazingly God-blessed day. In Jesus' name.